Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
That's right. It's Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, welcoming you to the first 2017 show of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Happy to be here with you all on this Monday, day after New Year's Day. A lot of fun football yesterday, fun football over the weekend, but it is basketball time. And it's during the week, and Locked On Pelicans comes 5 days a week for you guys. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Pelicans are playing tonight on the road in Cleveland against the Cavaliers, and what's certainly going to be a tough test for them. Though maybe the small ball lineup's going to work. It's been working now. They're on a four-game winning streak, the Pelicans. Five out of their last six, if you go back to Philadelphia, with the loss really being only the one to Oklahoma City at home, you had to figure that was probably going to be the case. But they won the other ones. That was a five-game homestand they had. Took care of business because January eases up a little bit, not a ton. I'll probably talk about the schedule more later in the week. But there's some chance to win some games here. No back-to-backs, I don't think, taken from a quick look here at it. I might have missed one. But they have a good chance to try and win this game. Win this month. And maybe call back into playoff contention, which, frankly, if you were asking me a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of people were asking, I would have thought it was not possible, and now look what's happening. So, hey, good job by the Pelicans to win games they needed to win, to give us a lot to talk about, which is always a good thing, and to make them just more fun to watch. So today I'm going to recap the Knicks win that they had last Friday night. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cleveland game and previewing that for you. It's always fun to go up against the NBA, the defending NBA champions. One of the two games the Pelicans will play against them this season. And then I want to talk a little bit. There's some news. The Pelicans did have some roster moves here. They cut Reggie Williams. There's supposedly interest in Donatas Mataunas out of Houston. I'm going to talk about his situation, whether I think he would fit here. What's going on there. So that's going to be what we have lined up here on Locked On Pelicans today. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, it is on Audioboom, it is on Stitcher or any other app you use to get your podcast put on your phone. I use Stitcher personally. So make sure you're subscribing to it, that you're liking it, that you're following it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels is the Twitter handle of the podcast. Tweet me your questions. I'll answer them here on the podcast when I get a bunch of good ones in. Always fun to do the mailbags. If you're interested in advertising on Locked On Pelicans, that's always a good thing, too. It's what keeps this free for all of the listeners. Reach out to me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. There's a very good demographic. Rates are reasonable, too. Always an important thing. And it's a lot of fun to be involved with the podcast, with the Pelicans, getting your name out in sports media. So please, like I said, make sure you're subscribing to the podcast, liking it, sharing it. Only a good thing. So let's just kind of go in order of what happened over the weekend. So the first one was Friday. The Pelicans playing the Knicks at home in the Smoothie King Center and managing to just come out basically on fire. Scored 31 points in the first quarter, 21 to the Knicks. The Pelicans finished with a 104-92 victory. Just very comfortable, easy kind of win for them, which was nice to see. They needed that. This was a team they could beat. The Knicks are a playoff team in the East. Not that great in the West. It wouldn't have been that great in the Western Conference. And in this victory, the Pelicans did a lot of kind of what won them the Clippers game, where in that game they had 28 fast break points. Against the Knicks, they scored 30 fast break points. This small lineup is working to get out in transition, get good shots, and score some easy points. As I'm saying this as I lose my voice. But this time, a lot of the fast break points were a little bit different. They scored a lot of points in the paint this game, 46. And a lot of that was in the fast break, just kind of running and moving around and getting the ball down there much quicker than they would otherwise. You don't need to worry when you're running on the fast break about bad entry passes. You can kind of just get the pass up there and score in the paint or dunk at the rim or put a layup in at the rim. And it's a lot easier that way in transition than trying to work it through the, you know, through an entry pass and having someone do the post shot. Post play isn't exactly the Pelicans' specialty. So it was a good job by them. Basically, they just kind of limited the Knicks on what the Knicks wanted to do. So the small lineup, yeah, I've been talking about it a lot here. The big thing with Dante Cunningham and with Solomon Hill playing, one, it helps that they're kind of similar sized. 6'8 versus 6'7. Cunningham, I think, is 6'8. Hill, 6'7. It allows them to switch. So if you run a guard, big pick and roll, you can switch with those two guys and they can handle their own. If you have Carmelo Anthony run a, and this is what happened a bunch, Carmelo Anthony run a pick and roll with Porzingis, Melo's guy is going to switch on to Porzingis. They can defend that. And then Porzingis' defender can switch on to Carmelo and defend that, especially when it's those two in Cunningham and Hill. They're also decent corner shooters. Hill struggled this year at times, but he's starting to come on a little bit better, maybe finding a shot, just getting into more of a rhythm, so it's been working. So that's all. That was a good thing. So they just kind of limited the Knicks on what they wanted to do. They weren't able to run these effective switches. This is effective pick and roll game because you have guys that can defend this multiple ways. The Pelicans said, you know, to start the year, they wanted to switch on everything. Except the problem is if you have Anthony Davis and Omer Asik out there, yeah, those two can switch on to each other's guys that they're defending. But if you have a guard force a switch with a big, now all of a sudden you have Omer Asik guarding Drew Holiday's man. That's not going to work. But with, you know, Davis, with Hill, with Cunningham, they can actually do that a bit more effectively than otherwise. So it kind of opens up the defense, and this defense is actually smothering people right now. It's been working. And, you know, right now they have a top 10 defense since they've, over the past four games, this winning streak they've had. And a lot of that, it's mainly the switching, which is a good thing. And it's working. The other thing is you have Holiday back, who is a very strong point guard. Porzingis got switched onto him multiple times in this Knicks game, and he managed to keep Porzingis out of the paint, bodied him up and kept him out of there and did a good enough job for the Pelicans to actually defend possessions where they had a mismatch in the Knicks' favor. One of the things that kind of worries me more than anything else, I guess at least right now with the small lineup, and you guys know I haven't been exactly enthused about the idea of it, though it is working out and I kind of dig it right now. And this is one of the reasons I'm going to say this here, why I think it might be a more of a situational thing at times. So in this game, you know, the Knicks have two bigs who can do fairly well on the glass. Kind of have three, really, if you want to count Carmelo Anthony in there. But they have Joaquin Noah, they have Porzingis, they have Carmelo Anthony. Anthony had 13 rebounds, Porzingis had 12. Noah had 6. Noah was just largely ineffective. Had nothing he could do guarding Davis. He looked bad, man. His contract, it's probably worse. It's more than Oshik's per year. It's probably worse than Oshik's overall, especially because it's 4 years, no player option, anything like that. So it's bad all around. That's the worst contract in the league right now. I don't even think it's really even close. It's not Oshik's anymore. Minor win for the Pelicans. So Davis had his way. So those guys grabbed a lot of boards. Davis had his way. He grabbed 18 rebounds. No one else on the Pelicans had more than 5. That's a bit of a concern. So the starting small forward and power forward, however you want to define them and which one's taking that role, and Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham, combined for 3 rebounds. If Davis has a quiet rebounding night or he's largely taken out of the game, he only had 6 against DeAndre Jordan, don't forget. And if they play Blake Griffin that game, if he was healthy, that's going to be a rough matchup on the boards for the Pelicans to go small with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, even though you have Anthony Davis. He was taken out of the rebounding game by Jordan. So Solomon Hill and Cunningham in this game the Pelicans killed and won in, only had 3 rebounds combined. Solomon Hill didn't have any. It was all Cunningham. He had 3. That's going to be a problem in the future against certain teams. Now, maybe it's matchup dependent, and that's okay. This small ball doesn't have to be, you know, the norm necessarily. You can break it out in the right situations. It can be circumstantial, situational, what have you. And I think that's how it's going to need to be, because I don't know if they're going to ride this small ball streak to the playoffs. You're going to run in against teams that you just straight up can't beat, and that'll be a thing. But Davis did well on the board. He grabbed, I think it was almost half of the team's rebounds. It was 18 total rebounds he had. The Pelicans had 42 total. That'll work. You know, as long as he's effective on this on the glass, the small ball lineup will work. They do need Solomon Hill to crash. They do need Dante Cunningham to crash the glass. But it can work otherwise. You just have to have Davis be dominant on there. If he's not, they're not going to win games with a small ball lineup. But it was, and it was good, and the Pelicans won, and everyone's happy. And Davis had a good game with 23 points and 18 rebounds. Holiday comes in, chips in 12 points, 11 assists. You know, you still saw Tim Frazier being frozen out. Cheick Diallo hasn't played. Jensen, no minutes. Oshik, no minutes. Both those guys haven't played for the past three games at all. And, you know, so it's kind of, things are good right now. Tyreke Evans played 18 minutes. You're going to keep seeing his minutes go up and up and up. Maybe like a minute or two here every game, 3 minutes over a handful of time. He's looking like a different player, man. 16 points in 18 minutes. 2 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line, grabbed 5 rebounds himself, had 4 assists, only one turnover. He looks like a different player. His shot is better. It's just like a smoother release, especially on his 3-point shooting. He's not doing as many crazy circus layups, drive into the rim out of control as possible. And he's a nice little fit off the bench. You got to wonder if he's going to keep staying off the bench, or they might move him to the 2-guard, 3-guard, depending what they kind of need from him. But right now off the bench, it's working. And if they ever wanted to trade him, I don't know if his value is going to be higher than it is right now. Can't say it's that high to begin with, but it's higher than, you know, when he was injured. So, you know, things are good for the most part. They're getting a lot of bench production, which has helped them on this 4-game winning streak. Each one more chipped in 12 points. Like I said, Evans with 16. Galloway played 21 minutes pretty much. Had 6 points. Terrence Jones had 5. You're getting double-digit points from guys off the bench. Very good thing. Very useful thing. It's exactly what the Pelicans need. Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham aren't going to light it up. In this game, Hill had 10. Cunningham had 8. They both hit 2 threes, which was good. That's needed. Spaces the court really well. But those guys aren't going to really give you close to 16 a game on average, which you would like out of them if they were the starters. You need a lot of bench production. If that bench goes a little cold in a game, Pelicans will struggle. But again, wasn't the case here. They win. Things are good. We're happy. It's 2017. Crap 2016's in the rearview mirror. And hey, let's see if we can keep this up. And the next thing that came out from the Pelicans this past weekend, and that is going to be Donatas Mata-Yunas. And the news coming out here that the Pelicans are trying to, or were in serious talks with him. This is coming from multiple sources, Yahoo, ESPN, saying they're trying to finalize a deal. They're in serious talks with him. And I know that Mark Stein had been writing about it, saying they're hopeful to have a deal Monday or Tuesday with him. So Pelicans can really only offer a 1.1 veteran minimums contract just due to the salary cap and the roster space here that they have. Don't have a ton of room. Waived Reggie Williams, who, though in his first game with the team played particularly well, had only played in 5 games for the Pelicans in is like 3 weeks here, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks here, whatever it was. So, you know, wasn't in their plans, was just kind of, you needed a body on the roster with a lot of the injuries they were having at the time. And then once the Pelicans started hitting a lot more 3-point shots, once Buddy Hield started to get going, the fact that Solomon Hill's shooting better, the fact that Dante Cunningham's returned from injury, less needed so. So it's not necessarily a surprise that he's gone. So Pelicans waived him. And there's a few teams showing interest in Mata-Yunas, who's last with the Houston Rockets in. Just a lot of stuff going on there. So, you know, the Timberwolves had had interest. The Lakers had had interest. Lakers actually worked him out. But no one made a move, so it looks like the Pelicans are in the front seat. And this is a guy they've liked for a long time. There were talks going back a couple of years of trading Ryan Anderson for Mata-Yunas straight up. Mata-Yunas was moved last year from the Rockets to the Pistons, failed a physical due to his back. So we don't really know his health status right now. So here's kind of how everything went. He was a restricted free agent this offseason, didn't really have much interest. I think Houston basically offered him a tender. I might get some of this wrong. which he didn't sign. Doesn't sound like he really wanted to be here with Houston at all, which he didn't sign. So he's kind of just been sitting there with an offer sheet, no one making him a deal, no one Houston's probably going to match. Well, during the season, the Nets offered him a deal, potentially this is back in November, worth up to $35 million. Houston matched that offer because, again, Monte Ellis was a restricted free agent. And Monte Ellis refused to report for a physical. A lot of that was because that contract had incentives that he would hit with the Nets that he would not hit with the Rockets had they matched. In terms of playing time, points scoring, you know, the Nets aren't very good. He'll get minutes there. He's not going to get a ton of minutes with the Rockets. So they reworked the deal for a four-year contract. It looked like this was going to be over. And then the Rockets ultimately, they decided to pull the offer, make him an unrestricted free agent after he took his physical. Supposedly they said maybe he failed the physical. We don't really know what's going on. So his back has been an issue. Coming here, I'm not exactly sure if this is going to, you know, matter. So it's been a bit of a mess with him. But let's talk about the player and just let's pretend he's healthy and what's going on here. Monte Ellis, 7 foot, can play power forward center. You have to figure the Pelicans want to bring in a big man here. Maybe just because they Oshik and Ajinsa have fallen out. Monte Ellis is a little bit, you know, more athletic. He's younger. It's going to only help things with him here. He's better than Oshik. He's going to be better than Ajinsa for sure. Maybe not as good of a rebounder, let's say. But, hey, it's another big that can do a little bit more. He's not a tremendous rebounder, like I said, but he can score. He, you know, has a bit of a post game. He might be able to catch and dunk, something that Oshik has struggled with. He can defend enough. But he's not going to be a difference maker here. Anyone the Pelicans were going to sign in this spot wasn't going to be a difference maker. And you got to wonder how much of his contract is going to be guaranteed at a certain point. It is said that Lance Stephenson is ahead of his rehab schedule. He's doing quite well. So, hey, yeah, you know, maybe he's going to be here for a little bit. They waive him, bring Lance back, though, with Evans back. You have to figure that's not really going to be the case. So he has been, you know, Pelicans have been helping him with his rehab. Monte Ellis never had a PER over 15. So, you know, below league average when it comes to that. Not, like I said, not a very good rebounder. Doesn't need a high usage rate, though. That's always a thing. Doesn't turn the ball over a ton. Better defensively than he is offensively. That's certainly going to be good for the Pelicans when they match up with a team like DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond. Those type of bigs, if they need some rebounding, at least they have a bigger, bulkier guy to throw at them than Anthony Davis. And I just talked about why that was going to be a thing. So, like I said, this guy isn't going to be a needle mover, not going to be a difference maker. He should, you know, maybe get some time. But my biggest thing is, where are these minutes that he's going to play come from? So, yeah, he should get some time. But, again, you're not playing Oshik, you're not playing Ajinsa right now, so there's no center minutes for him to take. You're not going to take minutes away from Anthony Davis. And with the small ball lineup working of Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham, those are the two guys where his minutes would come from. Are you really going to cut him down right now? Those guys played in the win against the Knicks, 28 minutes, 34 minutes. Are you going to reduce those minutes? I don't know. So him coming in, I'm not sure where he's going to fit and how things are going to work with him here in New Orleans. So we'll find out. We're going to see if a deal gets done. Right now, it's still speculated. Nothing's been official just yet. So something to keep an eye on, Pelicans fans, but not necessarily something to get super duper excited about. So before we end the podcast, big game tonight against the Cavaliers. It's always a fun one when you get to play the defending champs, like I said, where you get to play LeBron James. You know, always a good thing here. It's in on the road where the Pelicans have largely struggled this year. I think they're 4-11 on the road. But the Pelicans are a different Pelicans over the past four games. They did have winnable home games. Again, the Clippers were without, ooh, it's thundering out here, were without Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick, which means I'm probably going to lose power in any second. Welcome to New Orleans. Seriously, if all of a sudden this just goes dead, that's why. But, or even when it just really rains, you lose power. It's like a fact of life here in New Orleans. You also just have to get used to like cockroaches being in your place at times, like just nothing you can do. I tell this to friends in Los Angeles where I'm from. And they're just like, this is a thing that normally happens. Yeah, it is. You have to deal with it. I live without power 5 days after a hurricane that I stayed through one time. It's just fact of life. All of us who live in New Orleans, whether you're from here originally or not, it's kind of like a badge of honor that we do deal with this stuff, you know, living in not like a first world city at times. Anyway, so Cavaliers, Pelicans are going to keep going with their new look thing. They're going to run small ball. With LeBron James, that's good. You can keep switching on him, which is kind of the key that they're going to need to do. With LeBron, the Pelicans have actually he lights them up, but they do a weird job of defending him. And in that, I'm not upset with the points he scores. At time, they don't really let him get to the rim. His points comes through jump shooting and 3-point shots, which if he gets hot, he gets hot from. But that's fine. At least he's not killing you at the rim. Let him hit contested 3-pointers. I have no problem with that. If he does it, he's just the best damn player in the league. You're not upset there. So you still want to see the Pelicans going out and transitioning. Cavs play with a fast pace. That means if they take a shot early in the shot clock, they might have guys out of position and not able to get back necessarily. Pelicans need to punish them when that's the case. Get those points in transition. Get the easy buckets. Again, this offense hasn't been great in the half court, so you need to score in transition, get the points where you can, take them. They're going to be easy. The other thing is Kyrie Irving, I think, missed the last game. I don't know if he's supposed to play or not. I would assume he would if they rested him one game already. So he should be okay to come back. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Pelicans. So keep an eye out for that. If he's not playing, Pels have a chance to win. I don't know if they're going to win this one, but if they score a lot in transition, they switch well, play well on defense, then they should be able to do this. Maybe stretch the streak to 5 in a row, but no shame of losing to the Cavs on the road. Be happy with how the Pelicans have played right now in playoff contention. Only a good thing. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans today. Watch the game tonight. Watch the Sugar Bowl. I'm going to try and actually get in there myself using, you guys know what I'll try to be using to get tickets the last minute. I'm going to be watching the Rose Bowl before that. I'm from Los Angeles. My family's a USC family. I went there during the Hurricane Katrina semester. So fight on, Trojans. I'm excited to watch that. Always a fun game. I've been to that game a number of times. Also went to the USC-Texas national title game there. One of the greatest like sports experiences of my life. Always why you want to be in the stadium, in the arena. You never know what game you're going to watch. So Pelicans, Cavaliers, I think it's at 6 tonight. Maybe 7, I can't remember. Make sure you're watching that. If you're not watching anything else, should be a fun one. LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You can't go wrong. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4 times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.